Right now on VFN TV, President Trump delivers on some of his campaign promises. He signs two bills, one to protect and accelerate the benefits to law enforcement, fallen law enforcement, and two, to support our veterans. We're going to stand with those who stand with us and for our freedom right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
What Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence. And God put a mercy visit. Instead, he put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no. There's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to fill like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year.
Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well. And ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president, I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It got repaired as soon as I took
the... 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president, and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land?
I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, we are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolaszewski. We're so excited to be with you today because we're going to be taking you straight to the White House, where President Trump is really delivering on a campaign promise that he gave when he was running for president. He wanted to make sure that his platform and his administration was one that stood with law enforcement and our military, our present military and our veterans, those who served us faithfully. And I'm so encouraged because we're going to take you to the White House as he signs these two bills, one that accelerates the benefits for the families of fallen law enforcement and firefighters. Listen, these folks are our first responders. They're the ones that get in between a lot of times danger, you know, and danger affecting us, our families, our loved ones, our neighbors. And when they fall in the line of duty protecting and serving, we want to make sure that their families are taken care of. They're standing for us. And so the president does this with this bill. And the other bill that he signs is one that helps military veterans as they're transitioning back into society, into civilian life. It helps them find a new career in law enforcement. This is so, so important, and I'm so glad that the president did this. I want you to watch this signing. Watch it now at the White House.
Thank you all. It's a great honor. And thank our Vice President for being here. Thank you. Ivanka Trump, thank you for being here. And we have a great group behind us, incredible people. Some of you are very good friends for a long time. Good afternoon. It's an honor to be with you, the men and women of law enforcement, as well as two fantastic state attorneys general who are always proud to stand by the side of law enforcement officers. That's Pam Bondi and Leslie Rutledge. Thank you very much. Thank you. I want to thank also Chuck Canterbury, president of the Fraternal Order of Police, and Sheriff Greg Champagne, president of the National Sheriff's Association.
Where are you, folks?
Good. Hello, man.
How are you?
How are you?
Yes, sir.
Great.
Appreciate you being here. Really two great champions of law enforcement. We are here today to reaffirm our unbreakable support for the American heroes who keep our streets, our homes, and our citizens safe. And they've been doing an amazing job under very adverse conditions. We will always support the incredible men and women of law enforcement. I can speak very strongly for myself and for Mike Pence, our Vice President. We are behind you 100%. Every single day, America's law enforcement officers, firefighters, first responders, and their families make tremendous sacrifices for their communities and for their nation.
when a home is threatened, when danger visits our doorstep, when innocent lives are on the line, Americans turn to their courageous officers of law enforcement because we know they are here to serve and to protect us all. They sacrifice every day to keep us safe. Many have paid the ultimate price, laying down their lives to save others. Incredible people. They're true heroes, and we will always be grateful. So I want to thank you for this. That is so true. Our duty as Americans is to honor their service and sacrifice and to protect those who protect us. Today, I am proud to sign two laws to help fulfill that very, very sacred commitment. First, the Public Safety Officers Benefits Improvement Act will help disabled officers and firefighters and families of those who fall in the line of duty quickly receive all of the benefits they so justly deserve. People have wanted this for a long time. And I'm not just talking the people behind me. I'm talking about many people that represent the people behind me, family members and friends and people that just appreciate the work they do, which is incredible. For too long, injured officers have suffered, and the children of fallen officers have put their dreams of college on hold while bureaucracy delayed crucial benefits, made it impossible for their families. No longer. It's unacceptable, and is going to end today. In fact, it's going to end in about 1 minute. This bill speeds approval times by giving state and local enforcement greater role in determining eligibility and lets applicants track the progress of their claims online. So a much, much faster situation. You're all happy with that? You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You've been waiting for this for years. Second, the American Law Enforcement Heroes Act allows the use of federal grants to help our military veterans transition to new careers in law enforcement. America is proud of our veterans, and I think I can say a double proud or a triple proud. We love our veterans, and they're serving overseas. They're in harm's way. They are doing things that very few people would have the courage to do, and we will be and always will be incredibly proud to have them with us, and they've been with us like nobody, and we are going to be protecting them. They've been protecting us. We're going to be helping them right now. They've really been with us in terms of freedom, in terms of our rights, and we're right now in terms of their rights. As president, keeping Americans safe is my highest duty, and supporting law enforcement is my unwavering commitment. I am very proud to sign these two great bills today. I want to thank everybody for being here, and if you have the bills, we'll sign them. This has been years in the making, and I will tell you that this is something that I'm very happy to be doing. So congratulations, everybody. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. President.
This act may be cited as the Public Safety Officers Benefits Improvement Act of 2017. As you know, let it be enacted in the United States House. This act will be used, the American Law Enforcement Heroes Act. And that's what it is, you're heroes. And so I want to just congratulate you. This one also has been a long time in the making. You're all heroes, aren't you?
I think.
Sure.
Yeah,
you're all heroes. Yes?
That's fantastic. Who gets this pen, Mike? Who gets this pen? Okay. Slightly less controversial than yesterday, but yesterday was a big service to this country, I will tell you. Thank you very much, everybody.
This is so important, and I'm so glad that President Trump really took this you know, bull by the horn and made sure that these, you know, laws, these improvements were made. Listen, you know, for the last 8 years, you know, you saw, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, this disrespect for authority, this disrespect for law enforcement, and sure, there have been some situations and some instances that occurred that were not right. But overall, the great majority of our law enforcement, you know, personnel, they stand in the gap against so many horrific things that most people have no idea occurs normally between the hours of, you know, 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. While everyone is asleep, they're a filtering service through our community, making sure that our roads are safe, our neighborhoods are safe, and no one's climbing into our windows at night. And to know that something like this is in place now, that God forbid they were to fall, means they were to die in the line of duty, meaning that if they were to die while protecting me and you, that their families would be taken care of. How much better is that law enforcement equipped to serve us, knowing that I'm going to do my job, but if I don't go home from doing my job, then I know that at least my family is going to be taken care of. This has been long overdue. We want you to join us when we get back from this break, because we're going to continue to talk about the amazing job our law enforcement officers do, as well as our veterans. It is time that we stand with those who have been willing to stand for us. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN-TV and the Data Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN-TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the 7 spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studio is Steve Kalaszewski. I am so excited, and I'm so glad, really, that President Trump took the time to make sure that these initiatives and these improvements for law enforcement, you know, are taking place.
It's so good to see such a 180 turnaround and seeing someone in leadership that's outright standing behind our law enforcement, standing behind 100%, saying we're with you, and to their faces saying, we stand with you, we honor you, we recognize you, and we thank you for you. It's beautiful.
It's called the Public Safety Officer Benefits Improvement Act, and it's for disabled law enforcement too. So it's not just those who have fallen in the line of duty, but for those who've gotten hurt on the job. And I don't I think oftentimes at this position, you know, being a law enforcement is...
It's overlooked.
Well, it's overlooked. It's like a forgotten hero, you know. I thought, you know, one time that I'm a criminal justice major, and I thought I was going to go into law enforcement, and, you know, it just, it didn't happen, you know. God had a different plan for me, but I didn't take all these things into consideration. I had a friend who was a customs agent, and he, and I called him up one day, and I said, well, how is it, you know, what's going on? He said, man, you may want to rethink this, you know, and he was really going through a process of how much, you know, how taxing that position was. He was doing stakeouts and different things that he couldn't tell his family. He was away for quite a, you know, amount of time. And it gave me a deeper appreciation for what law enforcement go through every day.
And you think about it, you only have that appreciation and perspective because you were really initially pursuing it. But for those that have never pursued it, if you think about it, those that don't have family members or friends that are law enforcement, they really have no grid. And it's good to, you know, take that consideration and constantly keep that in the front of our minds and recognize the pivotal role that law enforcement play in our communities. Because you know, you said it in the beginning, of the fact that when you go to sleep at night, there's somebody patrolling your neighborhood, there's somebody patrolling your community to make sure that someone's not breaking into your room, breaking into, you know, your business. You know, you're grateful the fact that there is a layer of safety because of those law enforcement agents.
It's so important what you're saying, Steve, about law enforcement. We have to be there. You can't say it enough. We got to be there for those who are standing for us, because it's going to come to a point, if we don't, there's not going to be anyone standing for us. And so we need to have a healthier perspective. Perspective makes all the difference. When I can understand and, you know, your pain and walk a little bit in your shoes and get a broader perspective, I can have more empathy for the things that are going on in your life, which means I could probably give you a little bit more mercy and grace.
Compassion.
I want you to listen a classic. I want you to watch and see Paul Harvey's tribute to the policeman.
Policeman. A policeman is a composite of what all men are, I guess, a mingling of saint and sinner, dust and deity. What that really means is that they are exceptional, they are unusual, they are not commonplace. Buried under the fraud is the fact. And the fact is that less than 0.5% of policemen misfit that uniform. And that is a better average than you'd find among clergymen. What is a policeman? He of all men is at once the most needed and the most wanted. He must be such a diplomat that he can settle differences between individuals so that each will think he won. But if a policeman is neat, he's conceited. If he's careless, he's a bum. If he's pleasant, he's a flirt. If he's not, he's a grouch. He must make instant decisions which would require months for a lawyer, but if he hurries, he's careless. If he's deliberate, he's lazy. He must be first to an accident, infallible with a diagnosis. He must be able to start breathing, stop bleeding, tie splints, and above all, be sure the victim goes home without a limp. The police officer must know every gun, draw on the run, and hit where it doesn't hurt. He must be able to whip two men twice his size and half his age without damaging his uniform and without being brutal. If you hit him, he's a coward. If he hits you, he's a bully. The policeman from a single human hair must be able to describe the crime, the weapon, the criminal, and tell you where the criminal is hiding. But if he catches the criminal, he's lucky. If he doesn't, he's a dunce. He runs files and writes reports until his eyes ache to build a case against some felon who'll get dealed out by a shameless Seamus. The policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is amazing. I hope that you have gotten some perspective. I got, you know, deeper perspective. And we appreciate all the law enforcement, men and women who serve to protect our communities really across the nation. But Steve, the mm-hmm. Word of God has something to say about authorities.
Absolutely.
And would you read Romans 13 for us?
Romans 13:6 says, "This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. And if honor, then honor."
These are the authorities to do you good.
Yeah.
And if you owe them honor, pay them honor. And so we want to honor them, and we honor them by taking care of their families when they go down. But listen, we're going to go to a break. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about the second part of this bill and about how the president is writing acts and laws and making policy so that our veterans are taken care of as well, not just being, you know, transitioning to new careers when they're not in the military anymore, but also streamlining all the medical bureaucracy and the veterans, you know, affairs, and making it so that veterans can get their medical records quickly, promptly, so they can get the service that they need. But before we go to break, I do want to talk to you about a special offer. We have a gift for you. It's free. For any amount, you can have this special offer. There comes a time when oppression is over, but you must fight to get your freedom. Listen, this is a powerful message, something that you need right now in this hour. Help us to get it to you. Partner with us for any amount, and you'll get it in the mail. Watch more for details.
Offer 2034. There comes a time when oppression is over, but you must fight for your freedom. There is a cost to living in rebellion to God and failing to acknowledge Him personally and as a nation. That cost is oppressive leadership or living an oppressed life. This kind of oppression is not to push us away from the Lord, but to bring us back to the Lord. The very reason it comes upon a nation is because they've turned away from God. Yet there comes a time when this oppression is over. In this message, you'll be able to gain wisdom from looking back and learning how Israel was under great oppression, as God had sold them to a ruthless, cruel governmental leader for 20 years. You'll also learn how important it is to turn back to God and listen for His voice, a word from the Lord, when He begins to give you wisdom and how to fight for your freedom, and how important it is to hear what He says. Believe Him and act on it to be free. You'll discover how many words of freedom from the Lord sit on the shelf waiting for someone to believe the oppression is over. Believe God and fight for the freedom that God wants you to believe. We learn all through this through the life of Deborah. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can go to VFNTV.com and become a partner by clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2. PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2034. There comes a time when oppression is over, but you must fight for your freedom.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Generally, not always, but generally, you are drawn to your opposite.
Jim Daly on today's Focus on the Family Minute. Jim is Focus president and an author and reveals how opposite perspectives can actually benefit your marriage.
I don't know if you see that in your spouse, but I'm the morning person, Jean's the night person. I'm the squeeze the tube of the toothpaste at the end, she squeezes it right at the front. And, you know, all those things. And I think the reason, again, this is really important, is your spouse is going to see things, and your wife particularly will see things that you don't see because you have blind spots in that area. That's why you are attracted to each other. She's going to recognize some things that totally go right over your head.
God designed marriage for two people to complement and refine each other. And you can hear more marriage thoughts from Jim Daly today at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Credulity will believe anything. Faith is that which is based upon the rationality and the reasonableness of that which has already been revealed. God has put enough into this world to make faith in Him a most reasonable thing. He has left enough out to make it impossible to live by sheer reason alone. Even the scientist who lives by brute facts has committed to the belief that their rationality can be trusted and the empirical method of investigation can be depended upon. The whole move towards the scientific world came about because they believed in a design and an order and a pattern. That's why some of the earlier scientists, including Galileo, by the way, had that unshakable belief in God.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining with me right now in the studio is Steve Kolesheski, and we've been talking about, you know, basically giving honor to where honor is due. And we're so grateful for President Trump and some of the things that he's trying to streamline to make sure that law enforcement and their families are taken care of if they get injured in the line of duty or if they pass away protecting, serving us, doing their job. But he also signed another act, and it's called the American Law Enforcement Heroes Act. And this act is to help those who have served in the military transition into a new career in law enforcement when they come back to civilian life. Many of these guys, as you know, Steve, you know, were in the military, former Marine, I'm sorry, present Marine, who, you know, served us, but coming back home, it's like, what kind of job am I going to get? What am I going to do?
For me, when I was in, that's the hardest part of the military is transitioning out, because a lot of guys don't have that. I mean, I went through 2 years of intensive training before I even deployed to serve in my combat unit. And when you get out, the way my contract worked, I had basically 2 weeks. I went through, I think it was a three-day class, they call it SEPs and TAPs, Separation and Transition Assistance. And it's basically, here's how to make a resume, some of the things that you did here, what employers can do, and, oh, by the way, here's PTSD. So talk to people if you need to. Thank you for your service.
Wow, and 2 weeks.
If that, yeah.
Wow.
And that's not always, that's how my contract worked out. So.
Yeah, and so now you have to process, what am I going to do for a living?
Right.
How am I going to transition back into society? This is so, so important because, you know, I'm a firm believer. If you don't stand with people that are defending and standing with you, you're going to have fewer and fewer people to say, I'm going to sign up for that.
Yeah.
And what are we if we don't have law enforcement, if we don't have military, you know, then lawlessness continues to go all over the place and no one's protected. Well, we want to take you straight into the White House. as President Trump makes really another amazing announcement in terms of what they're doing to streamline the medical process, streamline the medical records so that, and modernizing it, so that the veterans can actually have access to their medical records a whole lot quicker so that they can have better service when they go into it to be taken care of. Watch this.
But before discussing our plans to modernize air travel, I want to provide an update on our efforts to fix and modernize vital services for our veterans, our great, great veterans, who we all love. For decades, the federal government has struggled to accomplish something that should be very, very simple, seamlessly transferring a veteran's medical records from the Defense Department to the veterans' groups and to the VA. In recent years, it has taken not just days or weeks, but many months for the records to follow the veteran. This has caused massive problems for our veterans. I'm very proud to say that we are finally taking steps to solve this situation once and for all. Secretary Shulkin announced this morning that the VA will announce and modernize its medical records to use the same system as the Department of Defense. No more complications. The records will now be able to follow the veteran when they leave service, meaning faster, better, and far better quality care. Okay. Thank you. This is one of the biggest wins for our veterans in decades, and I congratulate Secretary Shulkin for making this very, very important decision. Thank you, Secretary. Appreciate it. I appreciate it. He's done a great job. Stand up, Secretary. Where's Secretary Shulkin? What a great job. Thank you. Of course, there is still much work to do, but for today's action, it shows the determined leadership and what it can accomplish. Great, great reform. So again, to David Shulkin, thank you to all of our veterans who have served this nation. A very, very special thank you. This is truly wonderful, really monumental reform. So important for our veterans, but it's just the beginning.
This is so important because if you remember not too long ago, in the distant back there, you know, veterans weren't being taken care of. Mm-hmm. There were long lines. They were on waiting lists. They needed medical procedure, and they were being literally forgotten. And there was outrage all over the country thinking, how is this happening in America? How is this happening to our veterans? Mm-hmm. They deserve better than this.
Yeah.
And so this was a campaign promise saying, I'm going to stand with these veterans, and I'm going to make sure that we take care of this. And look, he's doing his job. He said he was going to do it. And he's doing it. I'm grateful for it, you know, and I know many military families are. But Steve, talk to us because this is an important thing. I mean, you're a veteran, and these guys are coming back, but they need help.
Yeah. Well, I think about what you were saying earlier when you were talking about law enforcement is that when your perspective about law enforcement changed, you had empathy for them and you had compassion for them. But there's a lot of guys that understand who are veterans. How do they talk to people who aren't veterans about what they're going through? If you have no idea what I'm going through, I'm going to be a little apprehensive about sharing with you what I've seen in war because you're probably going to think I'm some type of psycho. And it's just like, no, I'm just trying to process with what I've seen. So it's like we have to have empathy and not judge people trying to share their heart and be vulnerable. So we have to listen to them. So the thing is, though, if we want them to share with us, we got to present to them and it's safe for them that they can be open with us. I want you to watch the veterans talking about this. Take a look.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good. But I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good. But I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good. But nobody understands.
I'm good. But the past keeps coming back.
But I can't get out of bed.
And I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
But I don't even know who I am anymore.
But I still have nightmares.
that I don't need any help.
I'm good. But I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good. But I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Our veterans need our help. They need our support. They need our prayers. And this is something you and I, Steve, we've talked about this, you know, quite a bit, about being there for these men and women and giving them a listening ear. You know, as the church, we have so many opportunities to pray with people, to encourage them, to get them the help that they need so that they can be whole.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times we've talked about, you know, people getting purple hearts for being physically hurt and doing something heroic. But, you know, sometimes the things that you see in your own, with your own eyes, the things that you experience have such an impact on your mind. You know, someone can say one bad thing to you and that's logged in your head all day and it's ruined your day because someone said something bad that offended you. Now imagine how different your mind would react day in, day out. You're seeing the atrocities of war and the things that happen to people, how that would affect your mindset, your way you view life, and the way you view really human beings. It changes them. You know, when we get back from this break, you're going to get a chance to hear a little bit about Steve's testimony because, you know, Steve was a Marine. He served, in the military. He was a Marine, and he went overseas. And when he came back home, he had a wake-up call, and you're not going to want to miss it. It's an amazing story. Join us when we get right back from this break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're so excited about the marriage encounter. So many people are complaining about what marriage has turned into. A lot of people are not even going to be married anymore, and people are giving up on it. You don't have to. Listen, God's plan is marriage. And at the marriage encounter with VFN, we want to bless you. The VFN Kingdom business, we're focusing on you, your family, and your marriage. It's called Love and Respect. We have a special thing for you, an entire weekend. It's going to bless your family. It's going to give you tools to be able to relate. And let me tell you something. Once we understand each other, we can relate to each other. And we're going to leave with tools that are going to empower you. As a matter of fact, here's Emerson now with Love and Respect.
Hi, I'm Emerson Eggerich, founder and president of Love and Respect Ministries. What is the Love and Respect message? Well, the University of Washington studied 2,000 couples for 20 years and discovered that the key to a successful relationship is love and respect. What I found interesting is that the Bible said that 2,000 years ago in Ephesians 5:33, that a husband must love and a wife must respect. It's gender specific. I always insert, we all need love and respect equally. Women need R-E-S-P-E-C-T and men need L-O-V-E. But there's a felt need that differs in conflict between men and women. We've asked 7,000 people this question. When you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel in love at that moment or disrespected? 83% of the men said they feel disrespected. 72% of the women say they feel unloved. And here's what happens. It kind of gets crazy because she's not trying to be disrespectful. He filters it through that grid, though. When she feels unloved, she reacts in a negative way, which ends up feeling disrespectful to him. She's not trying to be disrespectful, but he feels disrespected. And then when he reacts in a negative way, he's not trying to be unloving, but she feels unloved. And so you have this confusion, and it results in a crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love, and this baby spins. Again, we all need love and respect equally, but the felt need often leads to the crazy cycle. Can you relate to that? And how to get on what we call the energizing cycle. In fact, it applies to parent-child. It applies to all relationships, whether you're a male or female, wherever you're at, in the work arena or elsewhere.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the studio, Steve Kolaszewski. And we've been talking about law enforcement. We've been talking about veterans. Mm-hmm. And how we need to stand with those who are standing for us. And we're seeing some major, major changes occur from Washington, D.C. towards policies, procedures, modernization, and expediting benefits to those families who really need them because their loved one was serving us. And so, I mean, this really touches my heart. Because these guys and gals and women, men and women, they're unsung heroes. Yeah. They're people that don't get any kind of credit for risking their life every day. But Steve, I want you to share with our viewers, you know, your experience. You are a Marine who served us, you know, two tours of duty in Fallujah, in Iraq, and you had an interesting experience. Oh, you know, when you left out of the military and you came back into the United States, you know, back in civilian life, what was that like?
It was definitely an accelerated process. The way my contract worked out is my 4 years enlistment ended while I was deployed. So before I even deployed, I had to extend my contract. So how it turned out, when my deployment was over, I had literally probably about 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks, and it was just like, and then I was a civilian.
So 2 weeks prior to that, you were in Fallujah.
I was in combat operations. I come home. I had a little time to like structure my room to, you know, get everything out of storage. And then I went through a transition class, which was about 3 days. Like we talked earlier in the program, it's just like, this is how you make a resume. This is how you talk to employers. This is post-traumatic stress disorder. If you have problems, thank you so much for your service. And that's not that. Now, I want to be very careful when I say that this is not the broad stroke statement for most of the military. This was my personal experience. So when I got out of the military, I knew I didn't want to continue that lifestyle because I had a gun on my chest every day. I was in a combat unit. So I saw that each and every day. I wasn't sitting behind a desk.
You wanted something different.
Oh, yes, yes. I wanted something different. So when I transitioned out of the Marine Corps, I moved entirely across the United States from where I initially lived, moved to the Gulf Coast, and I didn't know what to do with my life. And I started waiting tables as a waiter because I had waited tables in college.
Prior to, so here you are, you were serving in Iraq, back 2 weeks of transition, which that really amazes me, and now you're back in civilian life and you're waiting tables.
Yeah, and that in itself, back into American culture after two deployments, was more of a culture shock for me than my first exposure to the Middle East.
Tell me more about that. Like, what do you mean?
You are so amped. A lot of people say, you know, hyper-vigilant, hyper-awareness. You know, people have many terms for it. But you're so aware of your surroundings because you can't let your guard down. You're in a 24/7 environment of there are immediate threats, lethal threats to me and my brothers to my left and right. And when you come home back to America, it's like there's such an individualistic mindset. Everybody's out for themselves. Mm-hmm. And nobody has a grid for what you're going through.
A lot of people don't.
Right. And what made it more difficult in my circumstance was I was trying to move past what had happened in the Marine Corps, and I really didn't even know how to communicate with a lot of the guys that I served with, because when I would talk to them, I didn't want to be a civilian. I wanted to reenlist, but yet I was fighting with that because it was just a process that you're trying to learn what you go through.
What did you do while you were there? I mean, just kind of update us, too, real quickly. Like, what did your day consist of?
While I was deployed?
Right.
I was part of a reconnaissance unit. So we would literally walk amongst the villages and talk to the people, kind of coordinate with tribal leaders. And we were basically looking for the bad guys. And when we found out where they were, we would go there. And but it was a constant awareness of we could be getting shot at, we could be, you know, going over roadside bombs, and
so that's a constant day in day out pressure, stress.
Yes,
that's on you every day. You're a you're a moving target.
Oh yes, absolutely. So then to come back home and listen to what some Americans can complain about, you know, their iPhone,
right.
Traffic, TV. So it's kind of like you don't really understand. Okay. Where do I fit in this? I don't even know how to live again. And so I started waiting tables. So I'm like, I better get a job because I got to pay for my apartment at the time. And that in itself was even harder.
Wow.
Because you're listening to people, you know, snap their fingers at you because their steak was cold.
Wow. So you're like, you know, you just served them, you know, put your life on the line.
Yeah.
And they have no connection, no clue when they're snapping fingers.
Right. But when I look back out on it, I'm so glad because that was just God's orchestrating his hand in my life, just drawing him to himself. Because it was during that very season that I would leave work every day on the verge of tears because there was so much aggression and stress and just unknown navigated emotions that you just don't know what to do with your life. And when you're encountering Americans in that environment, it's just kind of like I could snap on people, and it was just like I was afraid of myself sometimes.
Sure.
And that's exactly what had happened on one specific instance when I was waiting on a table, and I was waiting on a lady. She's probably in her 60s or 70s, and I forgot her ranch dressing.
You forgot the ranch dressing?
2 ounces of a condiment, and
what was her reaction?
She was yelling at me. I mean, finger in my face. Just lost it. And as I'm staring at her, I saw myself punching her in the throat. I saw myself killing her and standing over her.
And you just got back from Iraq. I mean, you were in like war mode.
Yeah.
And there was no help with the transition. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're about to lose it.
Yeah. And the thing is though, it was because of that stressful moment right there. I had nowhere else to turn. And I walked away and I said, God, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. But if you don't come down here and take this, I'm either going to kill somebody or I'm going to kill myself.
Mm.
And it was at that moment as if somebody was standing on me and they just got off.
Wow.
And all that pressure was immediately just gone out of my life. And I was more afraid in that moment of almost of responding that way than I was about killing that lady because I knew that was God.
Mm.
And that's the thing. It's just like there is hope in Jesus Christ. What we're seeing, what we're talking about, what law enforcement is going through, what military is going through, is the fact that you can find hope in Jesus Christ. There is answer, and he knows exactly where you are.
That's an amazing, amazing encounter when I think about it. Because, you know, you and I, we've talked about this, you know, for quite a while, about helping people. Not every veteran has suffered to extreme, you know, issues, you know, they have had. Everyone's different, what I'm trying to say. Everyone has different degree of things that they're trying to process. But it's important that we recognize that and then we get people that, you know, help, that need the help.
Yeah. And that's the huge thing is because we're recognizing the fact that, okay, somebody's going through a situation that they have no idea how to navigate.
Right.
But when they recognize that there's people there for them, that there's people that genuinely care. Because that was a huge ministering moment because that day that I called out to God, it was that very next weekend that I met your family.
Wow.
Because that was when you were transitioning and it was just like God has so orchestrated that you never know how God wants to use you to minister to someone and just say, you know what, God knows what you're going through. God knows what you saw and he's got a plan for your life. And it wasn't all, you know, for neglect.
Sure. So what would you tell a Marine? What would you tell a veteran or family of military about what we can do, the importance of really having mercy and empathy for somebody who has served, you know, served us?
Well, the first thing I would say is don't blame people that have no idea what you're going through right now, that there are people that genuinely care about you. There's people that are praying for you. And cry out to Jesus Christ right now. When you're awake at night, you can't sleep, you see these same images, your friends that are buried right now, God knows your heart. God knows all that pain. You can cry out to Jesus Christ right now and find rest in Him, find safety in Christ alone.
Wow. Well, listen, we're coming to the end of this program. I really appreciate you sharing that, because we have a deep perspective now for all law enforcement, for those who have served in the military, and those who have given all so that we can be safe day in and day out. I want to pray with you.
Yes.
And let's join together. Father, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you that so many different changes are happening in our nation. And Lord, that honor is being given to those who, Lord, deserve the honor. Those who have stood in the gap, Lord, and made sure that our families were saved, and made sure that our values, the Constitution, that our way of life here in the United States has been defended so that we can have a free land, so that we can openly talk about you, Lord, and share your good news. Father, we pray for every law enforcement officer. We pray for every veteran, Lord, for every person presently serving right now in the armed forces. And we pray that you be with them, Lord. We pray that you would minister to them in your own unique, special way, and that you would bring them, Father, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord. Be with their families and help us to have a culture in this country again that honors those in authority. Lord, we ask you, as we do every program, to end abortion, to send revival, and to send a third great awakening on this land. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years, I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing His voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what He's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear Him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, His sheep will hear His voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing, and He knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life, and it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it,
right?
You know, when you open up the scriptures, and there it is, and like, wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God and alone with God, and you all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? The children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though, to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear His voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org, request your plan, and it'll be sent to you immediately in your email, iabide.org.